60, Section 2, Citizens and Government. As you read, look for the rights and responsibilities of citizens, qualifications for voting, how elections are conducted, the role of political parties in government, terms, slander, libel, search warrant, probable cause, bail, felony, precinct, polling place, nonpartisan, majority, referendum, political party, political ideology, interest group, lobbyist. Under the United States and Georgia constitutions, citizens have both rights and responsibilities. Rights guarantee certain individual freedoms and protections, as well as citizens' ability to take part in the political system. Citizens also have responsibilities to their state and the nation. Sometimes it is a responsibility to exercise a right that is guaranteed, such as voting or serving on a jury. Citizens often do not agree on what policies and laws the government should enact. To have their own viewpoints heard and to try to elect public officials who will put their views into action, citizens form groups to influence government and to support certain candidates and actions. This includes political parties, special interest groups, fundraising groups, and other types of organizations. This section examines the rights and duties of citizens, along with the ways citizens can support the direction of government. Rights under the U.S. and Georgia Constitutions. Georgia's constitutions, since 1861, have placed a Bill of Rights, its own version, at the beginning of the document. It is a very important part of the document and is listed as Article 1. Along with the fact that people have rights that government cannot take away is the idea that government should stand up for its citizens' civil rights. A civil right is a legal right a person has simply by being a citizen. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution prohibits Congress or the federal government from establishing a national church or religion. It cannot favor, give preference to, one religion over another in any way. It also recognizes the freedom to hold religious beliefs. Georgia's Bill of Rights adds two additional provisions regarding religion. Paragraph 3 describes freedom of conscience. Each person has the natural and inalienable right to worship God, each according to the dictates of that person's own conscience. Paragraph 4 prohibits the harming of someone or his or her property because of that person's religion, and says that no one can be prevented from holding public office because of his or her expressed religious opinions. The U.S. Constitution guarantees freedom of speech. The Georgia Constitution has a similar guarantee. Every person may speak, write, and publish sentiments on all subjects, but shall be responsible for the abuse of that liberty. Article 1, Paragraph 5. That guarantee includes the right to express a political opinion. Those who speak out against or for a government policy are likely to carry signs, march as a group, and try to enlist bystanders to their cause. This is democracy in action. The courts have recognized, however, that not all forms of free speech are legally protected. There are limits on the use of slander, libel, and forms of obscenity. Slander is a false spoken statement, and libel is a false written or printed statement that harms a person's reputation. Both constitutions guarantee the right to petition for redress of grievances. This means that citizens have the right to ask government to right a wrong or correct a problem. For example, parents of school children being assigned to a new school district may attend an open meeting of the local Board of Education and present petitions signed by those who object to the transfer of their children to another school. Under both constitutions, citizens have the right to assemble peacefully or meet together to discuss or demonstrate for causes. As with the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, Paragraph 8 of the Georgia Bill of Rights protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures. What is protected? persons, houses, papers, and effects are protected from improper searches. Law enforcement certainly has the right to investigate a criminal act and to search for certain items within an accused person's property or residence that may become evidence in a trial. Before a search, however, police must obtain a search warrant, which is an order from a judge allowing the search and describing what may be searched and removed. The judge can issue the warrant only if there is probable cause, a reasonable expectation that evidence will be found. The Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states, "Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself." To be a witness against oneself means to confess to an unlawful action. To be forced to do so would be self-incrimination. Through television and film crime dramas, you are probably familiar with the warning, "Anything you say can and may be used against you in a court of law." Each suspect must be read his or her rights. Double jeopardy is the term used to describe the situation where a person found not guilty of a crime is prosecuted again for the same crime in the same jurisdiction. This is prohibited under both the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and paragraph 18 of the Georgia Bill of Rights. In addition to the rights outlined in the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments, the Eighth Amendment protects against cruel and unusual punishment. It also forbids excessive fines or bail, property or money deposited to ensure that a person released from jail will return for a court appearance. The Georgia Constitution also outlaws abusive treatment during one's arrest or imprisonment. Also, a person cannot be imprisoned because he or she has debts, owes money. Both constitutions also address the right to bear arms, have weapons, to have a trial by jury in criminal cases, to have a trial that is open rather than secret, to have an attorney if charged with a crime, and to know what crime he or she has been charged with. Attorneys for the accused person must be allowed to confront, cross-examine, witnesses, and call witnesses who testify for the accused. Each constitution forbids holding people in slavery and guarantees that the law treats all citizens equally. Voting and other responsibilities of citizens. Citizenship implies that people have a civic duty or obligation to follow laws that are made and to take part in civic and political affairs. One important civic duty is to learn about the issues, proposals, and controversies of the time by reading news accounts, asking questions at public meetings, and researching the pros and cons of government proposals. In other words, citizens should stay informed. Today, ordinary citizens have better access to news reporting and analysis than at any other time. But a citizen must be careful to listen to all sides and weigh an issue carefully. In this era of blogs and Twitter, opinions and reports may or may not be based on accurate facts. It is more important than ever for citizens to take the time and effort to educate themselves about complex issues being debated. Voting. Being informed is especially important in preparing to vote. To be eligible to vote in elections held in Georgia, a person must be a citizen of the United States, 18 years old by the day of the election, a legal resident of Georgia and the county where the citizen wishes to vote. In addition, no person who has been convicted of a felony, a serious crime punishable by time in prison, may vote unless the person has completed the sentence. Someone who has been judged mentally incompetent also may not vote. A citizen who is eligible to vote may register any time up to 30 days before an election. Voters can register at county or municipal voter registration offices, military recruitment offices, and offices of state agencies that provide assistance through programs such as food stamps, Medicaid, or TANF, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families. When you become 18 years old, you will be asked if you wish to register to vote at the same time you renew your driver's license. As an 18-year-old, you also have an opportunity to register to vote when you apply for a public library card. In addition, college students have the opportunity to register at voter registration drives on their university campuses. If you meet the qualifications, an easy way of registering is to go to the website of the Georgia Secretary of State Elections Division. There, you can download a voter registration form. After completing the form, mail it to your local county Board of Elections office. The website lists the address. Voter registration is a county function. After reviewing and processing applications, Georgia counties issue precinct cards. This card lists your voting precinct, district, and directs you to the correct place to vote, called a polling place. When a Georgia voter goes to the polls, it is possible that he or she may be voting in one of three different types of elections: a primary election, a general election, or a special election. There are other types of elections, but these are the most common. In a primary election, voters in a political party select the candidate for a particular office for the general election. Georgia has an open, direct primary. This means that a voter is not required to choose a party affiliation when registering to vote. In the primary election, the voter may choose a Democratic or a Republican ballot or request a nonpartisan ballot. Nonpartisan means not tied to a political party. All candidates for offices that are nonpartisan, judges and county commissioners, for example, will be listed on the party ballots as well as on the nonpartisan ballot. Primary elections are held during the summer, July or August, in even-numbered years. After the list of candidates is narrowed to one nominee from each party for an office, the ballots are printed for the general election. The general election determines who will hold a particular office. The general election takes place the second Tuesday of November in even-numbered years, about 4 months after the primary. A special election is usually held to fill a vacancy in an elective office or to present an issue to voters. Special elections are sometimes scheduled to place before the voters a revenue issue, such as whether to enact a local sales tax. For the general elections, Georgia voters have a variety of methods from which to choose in casting their ballots. They can take advantage of early voting by visiting the early voting site in their county or town. Voters can also request a mail-in ballot when they are not able to vote in person at their home precinct. Voting by one of these methods before Election Day cuts down or decreases long lines and wait times at the polls on the day of election. However, on the day of the election, all voters must go to the polling place assigned to them. Those voting in person must present an approved identification card with a photograph. This can be a U.S. passport, a driver's license, or a state-issued identification card. The poll worker will verify that the voter is the person pictured on the identification and is in the correct polling place. The poll worker will then give the voter a card magnetically encoded with the ballot, which lists the offices up for election and the names of candidates for each office. In a voting station, the voter makes his or her choices. The state of Georgia requires a majority of the votes to win the election for a constitutional office. This translates into 50% of the votes plus at least one vote. If a candidate does not receive more than 50% of the vote, a runoff election is held. As an example, in a field of six candidates in a primary, no one may receive 50% or more of the votes. The two candidates who receive the highest and second highest number of votes will face each other in a runoff election, which is held 21 days after the primary. The runoff, or special primary, is considered to be a continuation of the primary. Voters who return to vote in the runoff must stay with the same party and not to cross over to vote in a different party's runoff. The same situation could arise in the general election. If there is a third-party candidate in the race and none of the major party nominees reaches a vote total of 50%, a runoff is held. Voters are sometimes asked to vote directly on a law or proposal. A direct vote by the people is called a referendum. For example, a referendum on a tax issue may be placed on a ballot for a special or regular election. If a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Georgia dies or resigns before the end of his or her term in Congress, the governor authorizes the Secretary of State to set the date for a special election to fill the vacancy. Other citizen responsibilities. Voting is not the only right and responsibility. Since both the Georgia Constitution and the U.S. Constitution guarantee the right to a trial by a jury, fellow citizens must serve on juries. A summons to appear for jury duty requires that citizens set aside all other business. A judge or a person designated by a judge may excuse a citizen from jury duty only for very significant reasons. Page 65. The money to pay for government and the services it provides generally comes from taxes. For state government, those services may include roads, schools, prisons, and other activities. Georgia citizens pay various kinds of taxes, including federal and state income taxes, federal Social Security and Medicare taxes, sales taxes, and local property taxes. Citizens can also choose to run for a political office or work on behalf of a candidate or a political cause. Activities that rise from people at the local level are called grassroots actions. Grassroots actions may also take the form of non-political activity that benefits a community. For example, volunteer carpenters can help repair hurricane or flood damage to the homes of low-income families. Business owners can donate supplies or a rent-free facility so that parents can organize a safe and age-appropriate function for preteens. Middle school students can collect toys and toiletries for young children who are placed in protective custody in family emergencies. Everyone can change their habits to reduce energy consumption, stop littering the streets and highways, and end the pollution of rivers and streams. Citizens can also serve on the boards and committees of charities that perform good works. Political parties. A political party is an organized group of people who share common ideals and who work to elect members of their party to public office. Early in the history of the United States, a two-party system arose. The only two national parties that have dominated and lasted since the 1860s are the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Third parties have formed at times when enough people were concerned that the majority parties of the day were not going in a good direction. Examples include the People's Party of the 1890s, the Bull Moose or Progressive Party of 1912, and the Southern Rights Party or Dixiecrats of 1948. Political parties are organized around basic ideas of how government should operate, including the roles of national and state governments and the relationship between government and business. Political parties are well-organized institutions that support their candidates with money and workers. A person who describes himself or herself as a Republican or a Democrat is usually someone who has a particular political ideology, a consistent set of beliefs about what policies government ought to follow. The four most common classifications or types of ideologies are liberal, conservative, libertarian, and populist. Democrats tend to be more liberal, which in the early 21st century means that they see the national government as having a strong role in solving the country's economic and social problems, including regulating business and protecting freedom of choice on personal issues. Republicans tend to be more conservative, which means they put more trust in individuals and in state and local government than in the federal government. They generally believe in limited government and a strong military. Libertarians are conservative on economic matters and liberal on social matters, personal conduct issues. They demand a small government with little interference in the personal lives of citizens. Populists agree with the conservatives on social issues. However, populists agree with liberals on the positive role of government in reducing the gap between rich and poor. They distrust big business. Most Americans are in the middle on many issues and may vote for different parties depending on the particular problems or issues of the time. For example, they may support more government regulation at some times and oppose it at others. Interest groups. There are other ways to participate in addition to working under the banner of a political party. An interest group is an association of people who share a common goal or interest that they hope to achieve by influencing public policy. They find ways to promote their issues by lobbying Congress and state legislatures. Interest groups hire lobbyists to contact elected officials, hoping to influence them to vote for laws that the interest group supports and defeat laws that the interest group opposes. Interest groups exist in all occupations and economic groups. Farmers, truckers, teachers, steel workers, medical personnel, realtors, trial lawyers, textile manufacturers, electric and gas utility suppliers, and beverage distributors are trade groups that hire lobbyists in Washington and Atlanta. Many of these groups are interested in laws that affect their business or occupation. Other associations hoping to influence public policy include nonprofit groups who have a different agenda from the trade groups. They carefully watch for legislation that affects the groups they champion: senior citizens, AARP, Black Americans, NAACP, and Hispanic Latino Americans, LULAC. In national campaigns, emotional debates over gun regulation are waged by groups for and against gun control. Some groups seek good government reform measures: League of Women Voters, Common Cause. Since the 1960s, successful lobbying strategies have been developed by the environmental movement, the civil rights movement, and the women's movement. They have used research and statistics, policy studies, and grassroots contacts by legislators' constituents to influence political decision makers. For all who are citizens or hope to become citizens, understanding the principles, the structure, and the operation of government is crucial. Only when all citizens are informed and actively participate does representative government function in the way that it is ideally meant to work. Then it is, in the words of President Abraham Lincoln, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Reviewing the section, 1. Define probable cause, felony, referendum. 2. List 3 rights and 3 responsibilities of citizens under the Georgia Constitution. 3. Why do you think it is important for a citizen to vote? Page 67 of Special Interest, Becoming a U.S. Citizen. Throughout its history, the United States has welcomed immigrants, those who move into a new country to settle there, from throughout the world. America is fortunate to have immigrants who bring to this country their skills, talents, and culture. Their contributions benefit and strengthen this nation. Those individuals who are born in the United States, as well as individuals born in U.S. territories abroad, are citizens at birth. In addition, persons born outside the United States may be citizens at birth if their parent or parents were citizens at the time of their birth. For those who are not natural-born citizens, taking the steps to become a citizen is one of the most important decisions they can make. Naturalization refers to the process by which a person not born in the United States voluntarily becomes a U.S. citizen. In this process, they are asked to pledge their commitment to the United States and loyalty to its Constitution. In return, they are rewarded with all the rights and privileges that are part of U.S. citizenship. The steps and qualifications to become a citizen are as follows. The person must have been a permanent resident for at least 5 years, 3 years if married to a U.S. citizen. A permanent resident is someone who is authorized to live and work in the United States on a permanent basis. A permanent resident has what is commonly called a green card. The person must file an application through the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS. The person will be fingerprinted and interviewed. A USCIS officer will ask questions based on the application. During your interview, the USCIS officer will test the person's ability to read, write, and speak English. The applicant will be given an oral civics test on U.S. history and government. To pass, the person must answer 6 out of 10 questions correctly. The final step is to attend a ceremony and take the oath of allegiance to the United States. It is not until the person takes the oath of allegiance that he or she actually becomes a U.S. citizen. The Oath of Allegiance. I hereby declare, on oath, that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform noncombatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. Page 68, Chapter Review, Chapter Summary, Section 1, Basic Pillars of Government. Our representative democracy is based on 5 principles. Sovereignty is the idea of supreme power or source of authority. In our nation and state, power rests with the people. A limited government only has the duties and powers granted to it by the people being governed. Federalism occurs when powers and duties are divided between the national and state governments. With separation of powers, each branch of government has certain powers. A system of checks and balances ensures that no one branch becomes too powerful. A constitution outlines government's powers and functions. The first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, limit the government by guaranteeing certain rights to the people. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That means national law takes priority over state law if there is a conflict. To be valid, any law must be constitutional. Government powers may be A. enumerated, powers given to the national government exclusively in the Constitution, B. reserved, powers intended for use by states exclusively, or C, concurrent, powers shared by both national and state governments. Because powers are divided among the 3 branches, each must cooperate with the other 2 branches in governing. The 3 branches of government are the legislative branch, which makes the laws, the executive branch, which carries out and enforces the laws, and the judicial branch, which interprets how the laws apply to particular situations, tries those who are accused of breaking the law, and punishes those found guilty. Georgia has had 10 constitutions. The current one was adopted in 1983. There are 11 articles in Georgia's constitution that establish the way government is structured and how it operates. To amend the state constitution, a proposed change in the form of a resolution must be first passed by both houses of the General Assembly. The amendment must then be ratified by the voters in the next general election. Section 2. Citizens and Government. Under the United States and Georgia constitutions, citizens have both rights and responsibilities. The Georgia Constitution has its own Bill of Rights in Article 1. There are currently 29 provisions in Article 1. Among the rights guaranteed by both the U.S. and Georgia constitutions are A. Freedom of religion and speech. B. The right to petition for redress of grievances. C. Protection from unreasonable searches and seizures. D. Being prosecuted for the same offense more than once. E. Cruel and unusual punishment and excessive bail. F. The right to bear arms. And G. Rights for those accused of crimes, such as the right to an attorney and a trial by jury. Before a search, police must obtain a search warrant, which describes what may be searched and removed. A judge can issue a search warrant only if there is probable cause. Citizenship implies that people have an obligation to follow laws that are made and to participate in civic and political affairs. To be eligible to vote in elections held in Georgia, a person must be A. a citizen of the United States, B. 18 years of age by the day of the election, and C. a legal resident of Georgia and the county where the citizen wishes to vote. Page 69. Once registered to vote, the county issues a precinct card that lists the citizen's voting precinct and correct polling place. In Georgia, there are three different types of elections: primary elections, general elections, and special elections. In a primary election, a voter may choose a Democratic or Republican ballot or may request a nonpartisan ballot. Georgia voters can take advantage of early voting or use a mail-in ballot. To win an election, a candidate must have a majority of the votes, at least one more than half. If a candidate does not receive a majority of the vote, a runoff election is held. Voters may sometimes vote directly on a law or proposal. This direct vote by the people is called a referendum. In addition to voting, citizens have the responsibility to serve on juries and pay taxes. They also may choose to perform civic works, such as running for a public office or work for a candidate or a cause. A political party is an organized group of people who share common ideals and who work to elect members of their party to public office. Today, the two major national parties are the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The four most common types of political ideologies are liberal, conservative, libertarian, and populist. An interest group is an association of people who share a common goal or interest that they hope to achieve by influencing public policy. Many interest groups hire lobbyists to convince elected officials to support their issues or oppose issues that the interest group opposes. The rest of page 69 contains other review materials for this chapter.